Well, as we reported last month, a high school football game in Scottsdale, Arizona was unexpectedly canceled after they couldn't get the field lights to turn on, and they did a little investigating and figured out someone had stolen the copper wiring that ran to the lights. That is low down.
Seriously.
The U.S. Department of Energy estimates that thefts like this have cost businesses $1 billion. And apparently 16 states now have proposed laws that would crack down on copper theft. The root causes of this copper theft, Chinese building boom, and the crystal meth addiction in the U.S. Oh, those two again, up to their old tricks. We talked about the copper crisis with a guy named Scott Baronato. He's executive editor of CSO Magazine. It's a trade publication for security executives. He wrote about copper theft for the publication. Let's hear some of that interview. How big of a problem really is this copper theft?
Well, it's difficult to say in terms of numbers how big the problem is because it's sort of a million little thefts rather than a few large heists. But certainly, if you talk to the security executives at utilities, they consider this a bigger problem than terrorism, frankly.
Really?
It is their single biggest problem they deal with day to day.
Can somebody really get a lot of money or even enough money to make it worth it? It seems like quite a process to sort of go and steal the stuff, and I guess they melt off the outside wire sometime.
That's right. It is quite a process. But with the prices as high as they are now, and right now they're tracking at about $3.44 a pound, which is historically unbelievably high, that you can steal a few hundred pounds of copper and make quite a bit of money if you have a sort of a drug problem to get your next hit.
Is this a yank and grab in gutters off of buildings, or is this the kind of thing where people are going onto construction sites with personas and pretending to be in the part of the crew and walking off with
It's actually
materials.
Both. A lot of the worst ones are the yank and grabs, and the stories are unbelievable you hear because people will go to great lengths to find the copper and then take it. You know, they'll get blow torches and cut up rail lines. They'll climb utility poles and cut live wires. They'll steal roofs off of churches have been stolen. They'll go into houses and take the live plumbing out. On the other hand, an equal problem is when you're at a construction site, you have a lot of subcontractors around. If you leave those big spools of wires you see on construction sites laying there, they're going to be gone the next day if you don't have them locked up.
So what's the effect this has to people like me that aren't in construction?
Well, the effects are pretty widespread. First of all, there's the public safety issue. When people are climbing poles and cutting live wires and those live wires are left dangling, that's a big problem. When you cut the wires and power goes out, that's also a big problem. In Detroit, what happened was some unexperienced metal thieves went up and cut some lines and realized they were fiber optic and took out 911 service in Detroit for a while.
Jeez.
And then there's the cost problem. Say you want to take the wires out of a light pole or the lights at that field in Arizona, which is a very typical metal theft story. Usually it's a yank and grab. You'll tear the pole down or you'll try to open it up somehow and you'll rip the wires out. You may get $300 of copper out of that pole, but you've left a $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 repair job behind, and usually the taxpayers end up paying for that.
How does China factor into this?
Well, China, virtually overnight in the early 2000s, became the biggest consumer of the base metals, aluminum, copper, zinc, and nickel, just through its building boom right now. There's a massive building boom going on over there. And what happened was China just started buying up as much copper and other metals as it could, both because it needed it and also because they were trying to store it up in case prices got too high even for them. And it seemed no matter how high the prices went, China just kept buying and buying and buying. To give you a sense, around the time just after 9/11, copper was pretty stagnant and at about 65 cents a pound. And by May of 2006, it peaked at some say $3.99 a pound, some say $4.04 a pound. So you're talking about a 500% increase in value.
Well, the law of supply and demand in effect.
Yeah. That's right, and there were a couple of natural disasters. There was a landslide, which affected production of copper, and then there was a strike at a mine in Chile, which is the world's biggest producer of copper, which also affected supply production. And we ended up in what's called a deficit condition, which means that we were eating up much more copper than we were producing, which exacerbates the effect on the prices.
That was Scott Baronato of CSO Magazine talking about copper theft. You know what I thought about? We had this guy on the show the other day talking about people stealing wood and moss
yep.
from the forests of Washington. At some point, you're just going to a job, except your job is stealing copper or stealing wood. Wouldn't it be easier to just get a real job at some point? I don't know.
No.
More work than I'd want to do anyway.
No. Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, the pride of Sweden. Mm-hmm. A third of the group, Peter, Bjorn, and John, will join us.
We've got a couple songs from them. And what else? Then we'll read the credits or something at the end. It'll be amazing. Stick around on the BPP from NPR News.